The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the College for Creative Studies, is Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Thank you. What do we have drawing on the show sheet
I'm
for today?
I'm just drawing the clock tower, minus the clapper, that's all.
So. Minus the clapper.
Minus the clappers.
Of course, next to you, translating or transcribing napkin to paper, it's Professor Dan Maggio.
Hi, Matt. Thank you
for
introducing me.
You're very welcome.
Sharing that story.
How's the coffee at the afternoon
delicious.
Here? Good. Is it good? I don't even know. What coffee does Michael use?
I don't know.
That Detroit Bold stuff? I've heard some interesting things about
bold,
that
no.
stuff.
Hey, okay. Wait a minute. Who cleans out the pencil sharpener here? Oh, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. It's not Dan,
hey,
though.
No.
Huh?
It's delicious. It's great to have a cup of coffee in the afternoon.
Anybody would know about it, by the way. It'd be Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
No, I don't think so. Matt, I must commend you. That shade of electric tangerine with the orange tie is really fetching.
Yes, I told my students I dressed as a creamsicle today. They chuckled, just like you guys did. Of course, sitting next to you is our guest panelist for this week. Professor Rochelle Belanger is here from biology.
Dun, 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 dun.
Hello.
We're glad to have you here. Well, I don't know what Stephanie and Jacob told you the show is all about. But
forget it, whatever it was. Blot it from your mind.
I've listened to it before. So.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We had a few first-timers that really thought that we were going to put a gun to their temple and make them answer trivia correctly.
They came with such serious
really what the show is about.
I know, and... We intimidated them. Go figure.
They just have to listen to the show a few times.
Yeah. Once. A few times.
Like,
oh, my God.
A few times.
This is a joke.
You get scarred already from one. I mean.
Let's see here. We have some questions from Larry Burns of North Platte, Nebraska. I think we're going to have to put
we're
going
to have to put
a
new pin in.
Yeah,
oh,
North
we do
Platte.
Not have Nebraska. That's, what's
it? North Platte. I'm writing it down.
North
I'm writing
Platte,
it down.
Nebraska.
All right. We'll get up on the ladder after here.
Larry is suggesting. Sent us three questions. Some are related to others, some are not. What was the name of Jed Clampett's wife?
Oh, Ellie Mae.
Oh, no, no,
no. That's
his daughter.
Is it Rosemary?
Rose is part of it. It's
Rosemary,
one of those
Rosanna?
Compound names.
Rose Eloise.
I'm giving it to you. Rose Ellen is what it says here.
I knew it was Rose something.
I knew it was in my brain. Somewhere.
And then in doing his research, Larry has now shifted gears to, through what city did Lady Godiva make her famous naked ride?
Is it Nottingham?
No. It's not Tiffany.
Same name as a famous Christmas carol of an English city that
Sussex?
Starts with C.
Oh, C.
Coventry.
Coventry.
Coventry, that's
absolutely.
Right.
Okay, now.
The Coventry carol.
The sad part of how I remember this, Three Stooges.
That's not Lady Godiva?
There was a Lady Godiva bit in the Three Stooges once, and
oh my
I remember.
Gosh, I love it. I love it.
That's horrible.
I just
way to
remember
make a
the
connection.
1960s song, Lady Godiva.
Oh, yeah.
17, a beauty queen. Yes.
What was the capital city of England at the time of Lady Godiva?
Capital city of England.
Well, obviously.
Well, was England even united then?
That's a good question.
Capital city.
Kent?
Hastings?
You know, it says it's Coventry here at the same time. Hence, that would have been a big deal. I'm guessing that if someone had rode nude on horseback through North Platte, Nebraska, that would be different than Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I think that's the point that's being made here. Those were the three questions. Beverly Hillbillies, Lady Godiva. Thank you, Larry, for sending those in. Quite the menagerie. Outsider candidates for president. In this year, when at least three presidential candidates tout their absence of elected political experience as a badge of electability... I wanted to offer a list of questions on previous outsider candidates for president.
Jeez.
Missing you all, Professor Roy Finkelbein.
Oh, Roy.
Of course, he'd be the one we'd be asking all these questions.
Thanks a lot, Roy. Send more, maybe.
I'm not exactly sure how this is measured, because I did hear about some elections this last Tuesday where people who literally had never held public office before got elected. But it says, this president was the last American to be elected without previous elected political experience in any way, shape, or form.
Hoover?
Doesn't say Hoover.
I was going to say.
I mean, this person would have been in the public eye and was very involved.
Oh, Dwight Eisenhower.
With a certain part of the American government.
Yeah.
I believe it is General Eisenhower, yes. General Eisenhower. This Democratic candidate was a prominent businessman and CEO, but he had never held political office when he ran against FDR in 1940. My favorite loser of all time from history.
Dewey?
Nope. Two W's.
He was Republican. Wendell Wilkie.
Wendell Wilkie.
She from New York.
Oh, that's right.
I want to say he ran three or four times in a row. Give it up, man.
Nothing better to do, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Not obeying what we now know, because it's a very public thing. We talk about this all the time in Detroit, folks, but it just made national news this week. Someone noticed that the last 14 Detroit Lions coaches have never, after being ejected from the Lions, coached in the NFL ever again.
Yep. Oh.
And we've talked that way for a long time, saying that it's some sort of virus that you get when you're here and then you're completely unemployable.
Wait, wasn't the last coach, didn't he go and be a defensive line coach?
No. But not
head coach.
Head coach. Never,
they become coordinators.
He is a defensive line coach.
Right.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of them doing that.
Yeah, the last 14. It was all the way back to 1958.
When they had leather helmets.
Yes, yes, and goggles. Although he had served a partial term in Congress, 1848 to 1849, this editor of the New York Times had spent nearly his entire career in the newspaper business before becoming the Democratic candidate for president in 1872.
Horace Greeley?
Horace Greeley, right off the top of his head. That's incredible. Well done.
That's solely what I was going to say.
This African-American comedian, civil rights activist, and health food guru ran for president on the Freedom and Peace Party ticket in 1968. This earned him a spot on Nixon's enemies list.
What was his name? Not Russell Simmons.
Initials.
But it was,
initials D.G.
I can see his face right now.
Same first name as Richard Nixon, but not Richard.
Dick Gregory.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Comedian, I forgot he ran for president.
Civil rights and health food guru.
Isn't that all the same?
I just liked Russell Simmons.
It was close, wasn't it? I mean,
no.
Sort of, no. Kind of looks like, not really.
Sort of, but not
He's a biped,
really.
Okay?
Yes, exactly. He has carbon in his DNA. This former general and railroad CEO had never served in elected office when he ran against Lincoln for the presidency in 1864.
McClellan,
yes. George B. McClellan.
The unmoving general who would never attack anyone anywhere.
Unmoving general?
Yes, what he just kept building up his army and saying he didn't have enough troops, and that's why Lincoln fired him as lead general, that he just didn't do anything.
Right, because he was replaced by Grant.
Well, he was replaced by several people before Grant. Grant was finally the one that did the most moving.
This sounds like a bad game of Stratego or something, or Risk.
Gosh.
I mean,
no, McClellan, you took no risk. Oh. He never went anywhere.
Because of her 1872 run for the presidency as the candidate of the Equal Rights Party, this activist, often referred to by her opponents as Mrs. Satan, is considered the first female who ever ran for president. We're probably going to hear a lot about this if Hillary gets the nomination. Mrs. Clinton.
Susan B. Anthony?
Yeah. No, it says Victoria Woodhull was her name.
Oh.
I've not heard the name
before,
but I knew
Vicky.
The Mrs. Satan story.
Brutal name, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can only imagine the political cartoon.
Her satanic majesty.
Although he never held political office, this labor organizer was the most successful socialist candidate for president, winning 6% of the popular vote in 1912.
Eugene V. Debs?
Yes, Eugene V. Debs. You know that one.
Is it like clearly. Roy G. Biv's little brother?
Jim knows that one.
Yeah, the rest of us are like, huh?
This Texas businessman waged independent campaigns for presidency in 92 and 96.
It was Ralph Perot.
Oh, yes.
The little fella.
How about 1992? How much of the popular vote? Most popular third-party candidate
18%?
Ever? 19%. Yeah. It's
wow.
A big chunk. Big, big chunk. Of the GOP candidates currently running for president, which one actually ran unsuccessfully for the U.S. Senate previously?
Oh.
Christie?
It was this person who was very, very different.
Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, it was Carly Fiorina than the rest of the...
I'm a little curious, you know, as to the argument that what we need is a successful business person in the White House, because that was Herbert Hoover's shtick, too, and it didn't work out that well.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I don't think that's what we need.
We don't need a recession to go back to a... just that would be bad. That would be bad. Often considered the best president in United States history, he actually had the least national experience of any president, serving only one term in Congress.
One term in Congress.
Yep, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
which of course is a favorite of
and
our
he
Professor
lost
Roy
a Senate
Finkenbein.
Race too in 1858.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for those questions, Roy. Those are pretty sweet. All right, we got some questions. Ooh, from Pat Higo from the library here at UDM.
Uh-oh.
All I really want is a mug, but I'm going to put it in the university archives.
Oh, great.
Hey, okay, Pat, we'll do what we can
for you. We can send
you
two
here.
Mugs. Yeah. Yep. He can keep one and pull
yeah, we'll you send you two.
Put one on your desk in the library and put the other
so
one in
the library keeps non-printed archives?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have objects and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yep, absolutely. Oh. Mm.
So. Antiquities.
A few retired like, professors. You
know, relics.
Whoever just won't leave.
Few missing students.
Lingerers.
Stragglers.
Who was the first president of the University of Detroit?
Oh, Father.
Do I get partial credit?
Nickel?
Yes. Partial credit.
Oh, Francis. No?
Nope.
Oh, darn.
Reverend Jean Baptiste.
I've heard this before.
Mij was his name. Mij.
Mij.
Kind of a weird name, but he was a Jesuit. Who was the first president for Mercy College of Detroit?
Mercy College of Detroit. Mm-hmm. Sister
Mary Catherine Manning, was it? Mm-mm. No.
Nope, but I think she was after this gal. Oh. Sister Mary something else.
Gallagher?
Oh. No.
No.
Darn. Well, I mean, that's a good guess. Sister it is. Mary Catherine.
Mary Patricia Garvey.
Garvey. Garvey, yes.
Was her name.
Gallagher would have been a lot more fun.
Yeah, she was quite a character.
Crashing into things.
She oversaw the construction of the administration building and,
right.
You know, brought dinners to the workers so they would work late at night. She was quite a doer. I understand you did not want to try to best her in a business deal either.
Oh, wow.
That's what I've heard.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
what
shrewd.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do these seven names have in common? James Kearns, James LaCroix, Thomas McKeough, Benjamin Nolan, William Reaney, John Russell, Conrad Sporer. Whoa.
Were they thoroughly into athletics?
Nope.
Were they presidents of the university?
No.
Did they all date Diane Manica?
No.
I don't know.
Hey, did you see Johnny Mathis?
They were all fellow lovers of Johnny Mattress music.
Oh, dear.
The year was 1883.
They were no, it's not Diane then.
They were the first graduating class.
The first graduating class.
Just seven of them?
Yep. Detroit College,
boy, 1883. Boy, academics must have been brutal.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. What was the name of U of D's first student publication? Hint, hint, it was not the Varsity News. Although the VN is just a couple years away from a 100th anniversary.
It was, let's see, the Confessional Weekly.
I don't know exactly how to give you a clue for this one. It was called the Tamarack for whatever
the
reason.
Tamarack.
The Tamarack. Mm. From 1897 to 1918, which gave way to the VN. Okay. Let's see. Okay, what do these historic names have in common? Andrew Greeley, the author. Coleman Young, mayor of Detroit. Elizabeth Janeway, author-historian. Michael Blumenthal, Secretary of the Treasury. John Ricardo, Chair of Chrysler. The Reverend William J. Cunningham, Director of Focus Hope. And the Most Reverend Edmund C. Jaca, Archbishop of Detroit.
All people who didn't go to U of D.
No.
Who never graduated U of D.
They no.
went to U of D.
No.
They know U of D.
It is not automatically
true. They can spell U of D.
True.
It's all people that haven't been in my kitchen.
That is true.
That is true.
That is correct.
Edmund Jaca was in your kitchen cooking last week. No. Did they go here?
They all did something.
They taught here.
They did something at Mercy College of Detroit.
They were commencement speakers.
Commencement speakers. Oh. That's what they were. Yes, absolutely.
I remember Andrew Greeley.
Mm-hmm. It says 1969 for Andrew Greeley.
Oh, no, I thought.
No. You don't.
Nope, you don't.
I don't remember that. I remember, but you heard about it.
During a meeting of educators held 2 of April 1955, U of D President Father Steiner suggested this might possibly be the solution for the shortage of qualified teachers in the face of skyrocketing college enrollments post-World War II. What was it?
Sports?
Not sports.
Football.
Not football.
Free keggers.
U of D had the distinction of being the first school in the United States of America to offer a complete freshman curriculum.
Free of charge?
Nope.
From home?
Delivered in a certain way.
Delivered in
couldn't have been online. Not
Panama. I don't know.
How about what do you think the online
weekend
of 1955
weekend
was?
Correspondence.
At night.
You're so close. Correspondence class. By television.
Oh, what? By television?
Yep. Old Smith Media Center was the birthplace of WTVS, now known as Channel 56 in Detroit. The Detroit Educational TV System.
Kidding.
While we think about that, we'll take a break. And we're back with some great questions from librarian Pat Higo over in the McNichols Library at UDM. And we're going to finish these up here in just a moment. Arthur Godfrey brought his entire troop to U of D in 1953 at no charge, for the record, to help raise funds to build which building?
Briggs.
Nope.
The administration building?
Nope.
Life science?
Nope.
Student activity center?
I mean, we've
basically, it says the student union, yeah.
Oh, okay. The student union.
So
the only building that I'm kind of like dancing around.
Well, you know, the modern part of it was built like in the 60s, I think, or 70s.
Right. Oh. Yeah. I think that this is a kind of a cool story for those who know who Arthur Godfrey is. He had actually come as a booked act for the 1952 event. They had it way, way back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s called Spring Carnival. And he was voted the American of the Year. While he was here helping to set up booths, he noticed the students, this is definitely something that Father Albright has told me stories about, had to go through the windows to get into what used to be called C-12 in the basement of the chemistry building, which was the only snack bar we had. He offered to return free of charge to the university the following spring and do a fundraiser to build a student center. Why can't we get a celebrity come and help us out like that? They raised $16,000 just by bringing him back.
Is he still alive? Let's bring him back again.
Yeah. How about Keegan-Michael Key? Are you listening? Mm-hmm. Keegan, that'd be great. That would be great. Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
Who was that?
I can't help but not. That was the voice of God.
Medical voice of God.
Yeah.
Again.
If you look at the oldest pews that we have in the hallways, the only two places I can think where I know they are in chemistry and in engineering. Oh, no. I think you guys might have one, too. They have little wooden spikes on the back of them because those used to be down in the snack bar, which is now my organic teaching lab or the organic teaching lab for chemistry. And the Jesuits would walk through and make sure everybody was acting properly. And they were sitting with their butts on the back of the bench. And the Jesuits were like, this is outrageous. And they forced Art Hammond to add wood to the back of it so they would, if they sat there, it would be uncomfortable.
You're kidding.
They're sitting on a point and they're still there, those little points on those benches. Absolutely.
Now that
crazy.
Is a fascinating piece of trivia.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so cruel.
It was a little soda jerk they had down there. That's what I heard. What was the first dorm on McNichols campus? 1947.
Holden
Hall. Domus Optima. Man, I'm out of it.
No, Scheipel was later.
I need before
the
end.
Yeah.
Right.
Scheipel's the high rise.
Right, before the quads.
Revising is over. So
yeah, before quads.
Obviously. All right.
James Holden, a former member of the Administrative Council of the University. I'm guessing that's a precursor to the Board of Trustees. Grounds for the UNM McNichols Library were broken in 1949. Where was the library located before it had its own building? This is a good piece of trivia. The snack bar was in the basement of chemistry, and people came in through the windows.
Was it in probably an old building?
Commerce and Finance?
It would have to be an old building.
Engineering?
It wasn't CNF. It was engineering. The third floor of engineering was the library. Yeah, a lot of space up there. And the opposite of those yacked about bathrooms. Those are the Harry Potter bathrooms up third floor of engineering. If you go there, you may never come back.
Right.
Holy
it's a
smokes.
To
another dimension. Jerry Supp and Robert A. Woods have what distinction at Mercy College of Detroit?
The first men.
They enrolled in 1963. So
63,
close.
Okay.
So close. Woods had a little trouble adjusting. He had five. Oh, I'm sorry. Had little trouble adjusting. He had five sisters. Supp had no sisters. By 1965, there were 33 young men and 950 women enrolled at MCD. Those are some good questions.
Good
odds, fun
too, for our date.
You know.
Hopefully.
Some people spin it that way. Some people spin it that way. All right. Dear Professor Mayo and panelists, I sincerely hope this list of TV show families will keep you guessing and entertained. The series of questions will list five members of a TV family. It'll be up to the panelists to figure out what show they're a part of. Some will be very obvious. Some will be obscure. Some won't necessarily list the star of the show, but might list some of the lesser roles. I hope the panel will have much fun as I did coming up with this list. I'll defer to Professor Miles' judgment as to what he deems worthy of passing. Please enjoy. Regards, Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York.
Hey.
Thank you, Julie, for sending in those questions. You've sent in a lot of questions, and we always enjoy them.
That
TV All right, shows. I think it's going to ramp up in difficulty if I'm reading these correctly. So we'll start with this here. Richard, Charles, Howard, Marion, Arthur.
Happy days.
Happy Cunningham.
Yes. Happy days. The Oh, yeah, bonus points.
So do you have to give
the surname? No question.
Yep, but Arthur Fonzarelli? Okay.
I don't think he was in that family.
No, he didn't die. Big Al just died.
Yeah, Al Molinaro just died.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do you remember when he was Murray the Cop on Odd Couple?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember there's that one episode where, you know, he knocked on the door and they open up that little door to see who it is, and all of a sudden his nose just comes through. So, it's Al.
Rochelle, Dave is our resident TV expert. No question about it. No question about it. Watch him get this one right in two seconds. Great. Sam, Fred, Hank, Arnold, Ebb.
Green Acres.
Green Acres.
How many shows have an Ebb in it?
Like, is that a typo?
Yeah, come on. Ebb? Come on, name me one Ebb in a family.
Oh, my gosh. How about Howie, Jody, Terry, Samantha, Colt?
Wait, read them again.
Howie, Jody, Terry, Samantha, Colt.
Oh, Fall Guy.
Jesus.
Holy! Oh,
I don't even think I need to read these out loud. You want to just divine the next one?
That's
who else has a cult?
I mean, I don't know.
Ebb and cult.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Now.
Yeah. That was pretty
Howie
sweet.
Was nobody even played that by show, Doug. I can't remember his last name, but anyway.
There's no bonus points.
You knew the guy's name.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
And it was who was Heather Thomas was
Heather or whatever was on there.
That's incredible.
Locklear.
Heather Locklear.
Heather.
Oh no, Heather Thomas was on there.
Dave Thomas?
Heather Thomas.
How
Heather,
about...
Heather Lockley was on.
All right, next
okay,
one.
Okay, next one.
Jeff, Dex, Sammy Joe, Fallon, Alexis.
Oh, a dynasty?
Dynasty.
All right, Dan. Yes.
Dex? Can we come out with, like, Colt, Dex, and Ebb?
Right. We do, like, a Ross, Rachel, like...
Yeah,
It might be coming. It might be coming. Let's see. How classic does all this TV get?
You know? I'm out.
Fred, Cora, Orson, Mindy, Exeter. Waltons.
No, hold on. What was the last one?
Exeter.
Cora.
Mork and Mindy.
Mork and Mindy.
We had Mindy Richard Donner as Exeter.
Wasn't there a Cora? She was in the Mercantile on Waltons, or was that on Annie Griffith?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I think there was a Cora on the Waltons.
Yeah.
But
so
she was
Laura.
She was a sister.
I'm waiting for the most obscure name, because that's probably the most, the easiest one to place.
All right, I'm going to try... I'm going to try to help people on the other side of Generation X have a chance here. How about Jeffrey, Vivian, Ashley, Philip, Carlton?
Fresh Prince Bel-Air.
Yeah, all right. Now we got the balance back.
Jeffrey, hold on. Which one is... Jeffrey there's the butler. Butler. Okay, that's
Jeffrey
why. I'm
Jeffrey the butler.
How do I get on the other side of Gen X? I'd like to be on the other side.
Watch more television.
I think I'm on the edge of Gen X. And
right.
You're on the
what's
edge?
What's the next one? Gen X?
Millennials.
No, what's the one before Gen X?
Gen Y.
Gen X doesn't echo back.
Generation X.
Baby boomers.
You'd be a boomer.
Oh, I think I'm on the. I saw this.
You
had a
boomer
little
border.
HR workshop on age differences, and I'm on the cusp of, I think, baby boomers and Gen X.
Okay.
There's a theory that I've read that if you are in that zone, that you quite obviously possess characteristics of both generations. So
or just lost.
I hear they're
lost.
I hear they're very handsome.
Dan Maggio
actually
is a mutant. He's a mutant.
Gen X is the lost generation. So. Michael, Lionel, Barney, Irene, Gloria.
Oh, All in the Family.
Yep.
Okay, I was going to go Jeffersons when I heard Lionel.
Yeah, when I heard Lionel,
Lionel.
But that's right, he was on All in the Family because he was the next door neighbor's kid.
Vicky, Adam, Ace, Isaac, Meryl.
Oh, Love Boat.
Snoopy.
Oh, Ace. That's right.
I thought
we
were going on the other side.
I know.
Fred McGinley. Remember?
So ready to play.
Sadly, The Fresh Prince is the most recent. And that's not. I'm sorry. How about Randolph, Morgan, Jane, Hannibal, Wilton?
Hold.
Come on, there's a Hannibal. Come on, guys.
Hannibal.
No, I'm seriously. A-team?
Randolph, Morgan, Jane, Hannibal, Wilton.
Wilton.
Boy,
starts
Ken Berry played him.
Oh.
It was
F Troop?
Yeah, it's F Troop.
Holy cow.
Oh, thank you. I could picture him, but I couldn't remember the show.
This is getting really old. It's not really fair.
Oh, my
fair.
God.
That's
right? The end of the Civil War was near. Quiet accidentally.
Jim, Barney, Willie, Paris, Cinnamon.
I was going to say Annie Griffith, but I don't think Cinnamon.
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. Yes.
Cinnamon.
Wow.
Cinnamon.
Barbara Bain.
Rebel, right?
What about Marty the Dinosaur?
Yeah.
Robbie, Charlie, Steve, Mike, Chip.
Oh, the My Three Sons.
My Three Sons, yes. Whoa. Professor Conan and I sing that song a lot.
Right.
It's a different song. It's a different song.
Words.
Slightly different.
There's a lot of anger. Jonathan, Ava, Elizabeth, Catherine, Bill, Giles.
No, the only Giles I can think of on television is like Mr. French from Family Affair. But
Family Affair is what it says.
Hold on, who are the others?
Jonathan, Ava, Elizabeth, Catherine, and Bill.
The rest of the family.
Hello.
Bill was the father.
But who was the older?
No, that's Uncle Bill.
Who's the
Uncle
older
Bill.
Daughter?
Yeah, Uncle Bill.
Mr. French from Family Affair.
No. Sissy and Buffy Sissy. And Jody.
That's right, crazy.
Okay. But these have been are their proper real names.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm like, oh,
how about Frank, Leonard, Andrew, Edna, Carmine?
Oh, Carmine.
Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah,
Laverne.
The big Ragusa.
Laverne and Shirley.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh.
Clayton, Gretchen, Katie, Eugene, Peter. I actually used to watch this show.
Clayton?
Clayton, Gretchen, Katie, Eugene, Peter.
Gretchen.
Boy.
Oh, no. Boy.
Hint. Nothing.
Starts with a B.
Starts with what?
A B. Starts with a B.
A B?
A B as in... I can't think of the lead actor's name, and I know his first name is Robert, but I can't...
Well, that narrows it
down. That doesn't do great. It was Benson is what it says.
Oh, Robert Guillaume.
Robert Guillaume.
Oh, I knew he said Robert Goulet. It was definitely not different. Robert Goulet. How about Stan, Arthur, Nick, Phil, Frank? Cop show.
Barney Miller.
Oh, Barney Miller, yeah.
Sitcom cop show. Bobby, Jeff, Jim, Tony, Elaine.
Seinfeld.
Got Elaine from Seinfeld, but Bobby, Jeff, Jim, and Tony belong on...
Jeff, Jim, and Tony.
Bobby
thinking
Jeff.
Christopher Lloyd, thinking
Taxi.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We're getting closer. How about Christine, Billy, Dan, Rosalind, Nostradamus?
Oh,
is that the name of Night like Court? The
Always
Night
watch this show, Night Court. That Bull was
Bull's Shannon's
first
name was right. Nostradamus.
Was yes. It really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, but they never call them.
No. Well, they never do.
Yeah, that was a really good show.
But
really all good. Of these are the names you don't recognize.
Yeah, but remember, that's one show that didn't jump the shark, did it?
It didn't what?
Jump the shark?
Did it?
I think John Larroquette jumped the shark.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
That's true.
Well, it's good to the end, I guess.
How about Natalie, Dorothy, Joe, Edna, Blair?
Facts of Life.
Yay, there we go.
Facts.
Nice. Take the good, you take the bad. Christine, Leonard, Jim, Janice, Hikaru.
Oh, Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Hikaru Sulu.
Right.
Come on,
hey,
Hikaru?
What do you think? New Star Trek series on CBS.
Access. I know, I heard that. Mm-hmm. It's only going to be, they're only going to stream it
online. Yeah. But they said they would start playing the pilot on regular TV, so it'll be
right.
Fun.
When?
Tommy, Mel, Vera, Jolene, Flo.
Alice.
You guys are cleaning these up.
Yes, my grits, Mel.
Steve, Kelly, Buck, Marcy, Griff.
Marcy.
Griff.
That was
Married with Children.
Married with Children.
Oh,
was
Al's best buddy.
Well done. Unfortunately, it's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Tubbs.
So long.
Professor Belanger.
See you later.
Professor Conant.
Have a good weekend.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Meyer.